He is the president of the Toronto Blue Jays. Let me check my watch. Yep, still president. Here's Paul Beeston.
Greetings and salutations, Robert.
Greetings to you, Beast. Still working?
The best I can say, there's 77 days left.
Oh, not that you're keeping track.
No, not me.
So this is the first opportunity we've had to chat since all the moves were made. And I have several questions. First of all, what, if any, was your role in these the acquisitions attributed to our friend Mr. Anthopoulos?
Not attributed to him. I mean, he's got to give him full credit for it. I've never seen, and I think, Bob, you go back and in your years in sports, anybody conclude what he concluded in a matter of 4 days. From the time he started with Troy and then it ended up doing his deal for Lowe and Revere, I mean, it was incredible. It was one coming after the other. It was a relentless pursuit to try to address all of the issues that we had. You know, he and I had, you know, a multitude of conversations. Our office beside each other.
Yep.
But, you know, I was home at 8 o'clock at night and taking a call. Well, you know, he was still at the office here till 3 and 4 in the morning, and I think one day he didn't even go to bed. You know, and I know when he was doing the David Price deal, he was here the entire night, and I think he and Dave Dombrowski talked around 3 o'clock in the morning, and he phoned me, I would say it was about 6:45 in the morning, to say that it had actually been done, and, you know, I just felt that from my point of view, I said it's very good, but I think that, you know, our owners should hear it before they hear it on the radio. And, you know, so I made sure they knew. But I had, you know, I'd kept them informed the night before. But, you know, he and I worked very, very closely together. I made sure that it fit in to what we were trying to do. And he kept it there. And, you know, picking up David was just after the Troy Lewiski deal, was just terrific. And at that point, after we got Troy, let's be realistic about it. You know, Troy's here for the long term. David Price right now is here for a year. And you like to be able to think that you could keep him on, but you never know, because he is a free agent. He's earned that right. That's what collective bargaining agreement says, and, you know, who knows where he's going to go. But having said that, you know, it was a time when a player like him comes up, and, you know, we were looking for a starting pitcher, and when a David Price comes up, I mean, you have to say, man, let's see if we can do this one. So, you know, as I think I was a little bit more than a cheerleader, but, you know, on the other hand, I wouldn't take any credit for any of the negotiations that were going on or anything that that culminated in this deal. This was a double A and his group's whole initiative.
Were any of these deals a surprise to you? Were you unaware that there were conversations?
In all honesty, the Troy one was not, because we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, right. Did I think it was going to happen? The answer is no, because, you know, we've talked about a number of deals over the years. And if you go back right to 1976 or 1977, our first year, but even 76 when we were put it together, there's all kinds of deals that are discussed. There's all kinds of deals that you think are going to get done. And for a variety of reasons, they just don't happen, you know. So you never know. And when you were dealing with, you know, premier players like we are here, you know, that doesn't happen that often, and to have two happen in the matter of basically 72 hours, I mean, I won't say it's unheard of, but, you know, it's not very common. And then when you fill in the rest of the pieces, Troy Hawkins getting him in the one deal because we needed some bullpen assistance, and then when he was able to get a left fielder and, you know, shore up the bullpen a little bit more with Mark Lowe, I mean, now all of a sudden, you look what you've got. I mean, you've kind of addressed everything, and then he came back last week and the deal for Pennington. I mean, you know, he hasn't stopped yet. I mean, the ultimate goal is to win this year. I mean, you know, I don't think there's any secret to that one. And once we got the David Price deal done, I mean, you know, it was just a matter of what else do we need to do. So he won't quit till he's satisfied, and we know it's a long road. I mean, you know, there's 46 games left. I mean, it's, you know, as well as we're playing and as much fun as it's been and as exciting as it is, I mean, the Yankees are a good team. I mean, they're experienced and they've been there before. And, you know, you've got Baltimore that was there last year. I don't know what you can say about Tampa Bay. They just never seem to go away. And you've got California, Texas playing well. But, you know, we think that we have a pretty good team, but we have to play the games.
Was there a conscious decision made on any date to go for it, to say, let's invest what we have left in the budget. Let's make some moves. Let's surrender some of these promising young pitchers that we're going to have to give up, whether it's one or two or three or however far we go here. Was there a day where there was a conscious decision between you and Alex?
I wouldn't say there was a day we knew that at the beginning of the year that we had saved this money that we intended to use if we could do it. You know, so we had money that, you know, that we could spend. I know we had the complete blessing of Roger, so that wasn't an issue there. And the one thing that came up were the players. And I think one of the things that's lost, Bob, to be very frank with you, is that, you know, 2 years ago when we did the Reyes Burley Johnson deal, and then he did the R.A. Dickey and deal, you know, he gave up a lot of people. Then last week he gave up 12 arms. But what has to be given credit is the scouting and development staff. I mean, these guys came back and reloaded the farm system. And so, you know, you're not going to trade your premier players in the farm system that are your future unless you're going to get premier players back. I mean, we weren't going to do it for just anybody. But, you know, he had them and he knew it. But at the very end of the day, you know, Osuna is still there. Sanchez is still there. Stroman is still there. So he kept, you know, the players that, you know, that have moved from just being, you know, prospects to the point of being, you know, really a potential for being the foundation for the club in the future. He was able to do all of that. So, you know, he kept that core piece, but he gave up some good pieces. I mean, we loved Hoffman. You know, we loved Norris. We loved Norris. Boyd, you know, well, you know, he had one good game, one bad game up here. He's been up there. He said 1-1. But the fact of the matter is, they were good pieces. But, you know, he built that back up. And that's the thing that you could say that this has been kind of a 2 or 3 year journey to allow him to do this.
I think you would understand when people suggest that with you heading for retirement again, and for AA, who is, to the best of my knowledge, without a contract for next year, the gamble made a lot more sense. Playing for now rather than holding on to future assets seemed logical. Was that ever a part of the equation, though?
No, never. I hope you know me better than that to know that it wouldn't hurt the club for the future just so that we could try to have it this year. You know, if Detroit hadn't been struggling a little bit, or if Cabrera hadn't been hurt, you know, I think there's a very strong chance that David Price would be available. But he was available.
Yep.
You know, and we had the pieces that could do it. Troy Tulowitzki, he wanted, you know, whether he wanted out of Colorado or where they wanted to move it or whatever it would be, you know, the fact of the matter, he became available. But we didn't do anything to say, okay, we're all in this year because, you know, I'm leaving. We got to win. Alex's job is in jeopardy. We would have nothing that would have hurt the future because the fact of the matter is, our job is to manage this, you know, for this year and for the future, both, not just one, but both of them. And last year, nothing came together, and you know, we got highly criticized for it, particularly Alex, and I didn't think that was fair. But you know, that's what it is, and nothing got done. This year, it all came together, and he was able to do it. So it wasn't a matter of like, let's go for this year. But we did have in their prime and ready to go. You know, we did have Donaldson having a great year. We had Russell Martin. We had Batista. We had Encarnacion. You know, at Burley, Dickey. Well, you know, he started out poorly. I mean, he's been as good a pitcher as there's been in the last little while. So everything was kind of coming together, and when you could add those pieces, it made sense. Like, let's do it.
With Paul Beeston. Alex being without a contract, are you empowered to extend his agreement or offer him a new contract?
No, I would have to take that to somebody because I think that would be the only right thing to do. I think in the past I would have been, but I'm moving on and I've got to show them what I want to do. But I wouldn't worry about Alex. That's all take. That'll get taken care of in due course.
So that there, you believe there is no danger that Alex Anthopoulos, A, goes somewhere else, or B, that whoever replaces you might also install himself as general manager?
I can't answer that one, but you know, whoever replaces me is going to do what they're going to do. But I mean, I can't think that anybody would take someone away who has put in 7 years of learning his trade. Alex came with both intelligence and smarts, so they're both not necessarily the same. He's now got intelligence, smarts, and experience, and he has proven, and the way that he has managed this baseball operation, and I'm not just talking about the baseball operation in the Major League Club, but I'm talking about development minor leagues, that he's got the capabilities to do it. Why anyone would want to get rid of him would not make any sense. If Alex was a free agent, I think there would be a lot of clubs who would be interested in him. And, you know, every year there's changes in general managers. He's now got a resume that is quite impressive.
Isn't he a free agent at some point this offseason?
Well, I guess he could be at some point in time, but he might not be either, eh? I'm not going to get into negotiations with Alex.
No, I'm not. But I just offered the opinion that with what Alex has done, it would not be at all shocking to me if 3, 4 or more teams had interest in Alex Anthopoulos.
Right.
During this offseason once his contract expires. Wouldn't you agree?
I would definitely agree. I would think there'd be more than that. They probably couldn't even get there. But you know Alex. I mean, you knew Alex very, very well, and you've talked to him consistently over the last 7 or 8 years. Alex is not motivated by money. Alex is motivated by challenges. Alex is motivated by the challenge of putting together winning teams. He likes Toronto. He is Canadian. He's a proud Canadian. He likes what he's doing, and you know, all things being equal, you know, I think he's the type of person that would stick around here. It does not give me any concern, but a new person coming in who might want to do something else, you'd have to wait and see at that point in time.
Do you have any opinion?
I can't believe anyone would get rid of him. I mean,
I can't either. Valuable. But you know, I've seen stupid people plenty of times in my life.
No question, absolutely, no question.
You know, you can never be that sure about anything.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I know the answer to this, but do you have any opinion on who succeeds you in the job, and not from a specific name standpoint? But job description. Is there something in the job that you think is most important?
Credibility, leadership, ability to listen, ability to communicate. You have a operation down here that doesn't run autonomously, but has to be reported up so that the people at Rogers aren't surprised. This is not a company a club that is owned by one person. This isn't, you know, where you're communicating with a boss that comes in every day.
Right.
So you do have that communication. But, one of the key roles of any leader in anything is try to bring some credibility, you know, commitment to win. I mean, there's all kinds of things. You know, you could talk about budgeting, you can talk about strategy, you can talk about all the things you want. But at the very end of the day, you know, you would like to think that a leader is what Napoleon called him, a dealer in hope. And, you know, and that's what I would think and hope that, you know, that they get there. I mean, this is a good job. This is a good company to work for. This has got a great city to play in and a great country to because you've got the entire country in which to spread the gospel of baseball. And, you know, you've got a huge, huge, huge opportunity here. So I would think that this would be a job that many people would want.
Let's talk about another level of comparison. We both fondly remember the days in the 1980s when this organization started to produce quality talent and started to win some ball games and ultimately contend over a period of time, and then crashed through the big barrier for the wins in 92 and 93. It is almost inevitable that I am asked on a regular basis to compare either the 92 or 93 teams with this team, and it's very difficult to do. I'm wondering if you think of that often.
Well, I do, Bob, but, you know, there's a huge difference. I think, you know, and you'll go back because, I mean, you were back there at the beginning in 77, and you watched the growth of the first few years and then, you know, going to Bobby Maddock and then going to Bobby Cox and then in 85 winning and the frustration of 87, 89 getting the playoffs and losing in 90 and 91, and pieces were added along the way. I would say back starting when bringing in Mark Burley and Johnson and Jose Reyes and R.A. Dickey back in 13 season, I mean, it was a transformation at that point in time. We still had great pieces. You know, some of those players are still with us and some have been used to get other players. But at the very end of the day, you know, I think what's happened this year in signing Russell Martin and then trading for Josh Donaldson, now we started to get some more pieces and it came really, really quickly. I mean, in 2 years, there's been a complete and overall transformation of this team. And so it was a little bit different than before. But you know, at the very end of the day, there was this growth of the team back in those days, and this time, you know, it's kind of been a sprouting up and immediately. And the thing that I like about what's happening right now, I think those guys gained confidence back then over the years. I think this team, you know, has really got the confidence, and you can read it read it in the paper or watch them in their television interviews or watch the way they carry themselves and play, you know, that, you know, all of a sudden with these new pieces coming in, man, this is a different team, and they recognized it. And I thought the best thing that I read was, you know, like, it's now on us. Alex did his job, and Alex did do his job.
Give the fans some kind of sense as to the camaraderie, the bonding process of these guys, remembering that one-fifth of this team was brand new a little over a week ago.
Right.
And to bring them into a scenario where this team starts to win right away, and now finds itself in first place in the American League East and in control essentially of their own destiny. One often wonders how these guys will integrate themselves. How will they be accepted? Will everybody get along? Is there a contentious issue in the room? I don't think you spend a lot of time down there, but you spend some time there. What do you think of this group?
Well, I think, you know, they're ball players and they're quality. I mean, I think one of the things Alex tried to do was bring in quality individuals that, you know, that knew how to play the game and play the game the right way and are committed to it. And all you have to do is talk to a Troy Tulowitzki or talk to a LaTroy Hawkins. I mean, you can see that trade with Oakland with Colorado, what it brought in. I mean, they brought in quality guys. And then David Price with, you know, with his success that he's had, with his sense of confidence, with his ability to acclimatize so well. And I suspect we maybe got a little bit of a benefit last year when he was traded to Detroit, so he'd already gone into a clubhouse. Changing that many players is not easy because, you know, you travel with these guys and there's friendships that are, you know, immediately bifurcated. I mean, you know, some guys have gone to new teams and they're friends, and you get over that, I think, because ultimately what you have to do is you recognize that this is the ultimate goal is to win. And I don't think there is any denying the fact that at the conclusion of that week that started on the 27th, and then on the 31st, the team was a better team. And you know that the players recognize it was a better team, and their goal is to win. Yeah, they make a lot of money. Yeah, it looks like it's a glamorous life. But, I mean, ultimately, they all want to play in the month of October, and they want to play to the end of October. And, you know, what they've got now is a better chance of playing in October and a better chance of playing to the end of October. And so they come together quickly. And let's not deny the fact that, you know, we've had this nice little run here at the beginning of August. And, you know, so it brings everybody together. Winning's a lot more fun than losing.
A last point. I sat and watched the last game of the Kansas, or the Sunday game in the Kansas City series. I think it was the Sunday game where they had the row.
Right.
And at the moment, it wasn't till the moment that the two teams came on the field that I sat there and I said, this is the best thing that could happen to this organization. You've got a whole bunch of new guys trying to get acclimatized in a big series against a legitimate opponent. And this is before the win streak had started. You know, everybody should put it into context. It was just at the beginning of this winning streak. And I had these concerns about how will they integrate themselves and feel like they're part of this. Did you get the sense that I did, that could be a bonding exercise right there? It became very clear to me when you run out on the field in a Blue Jay uniform, you now all of a sudden know who you're playing, whose side you're on.
Yeah, Bob, I'll tell you something right now. I wish I thought of that when you asked me the question, because, I mean, that was a catalyst. There's no question. And whether it was David Price out there or whether it was Tulowitzki out there, and, you know,
all of them.
I'm going to get, you know, probably hammered from New York for this, but, you know, whether it was the manager coming to the clubhouse, which he probably shouldn't have done, but you know what? He was part of it and he wanted to be part of it. And whether it was there as a peacemaker or to see what had to happen, you know, everybody was we're all in and we're all in this thing together, and let's do it together. So you're 100% right, because after that we haven't lost,
not a game,
you know. And I don't think you can have a fight after every game that you lose. I don't think that would make much sense. However, you know, that was a high tension series. I mean, it was starting, you know, kind of to build then, because Kansas City is a very, very, very good team that went to the last inning of the last game last year and almost won the World Series. And you know, they have their swagger, and you know, they have their they've had their success. And so taking them on and winning the first two, losing the game on the Saturday, and then what happened on Sunday, particularly like a Josh Donaldson. I mean, you know, he made his point very, very well. And then when Tulowitzki got hurt, and then, you know, the rest of it all happened, you know, it was, I hate to say it was good to see, because you don't like to see it, but you know what, do you want to be honest about it? It was good to see.
It wasn't deliberate.
No.
It just kind of happened. And it was Kansas City that instigated more of it than the Blue Jays did. And nothing happened on the field. Guys didn't throw punches.
No, absolutely not.
But there was that sense in my mind, this is the best thing that could happen to this group of guys.
And you've got a very, very strong point there. You got a very strong point, because that was kind of the end of the month, or the first of August, or maybe it was the August the 1st or 2nd, but you know, it did bring them together. So it was a good thing, because you know, from the point of view of everybody going out there and everybody having each other's back, and you know, everybody sticking up for everybody, it's a good thing.
Mr. Beeston, lovely to chat with you. Hopefully,
as always, Robert.
Hopefully,
you're
we'll
down this weekend.
I'm not going to make it this weekend. I can't
no,
get
I
it.
Would,
I can't get a ticket
because we can use that ticket if you need one. If you do need one, and you know you can sit behind the microphone. You can't use it.
Great.
But you can go back to your roots.
Oh, that one.
Sure.
Yeah, that's 39 years ago or whatever the hell it is.
39 years ago. And remember, the game's at 7:07. So you know, try to show up at 7:06 again.
Thank you.
I will talk to you.
We'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks, Bob.